Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Nun Zayin. We're holding two lines from the bottom of the Yomid where the Gemara begins with a braisa. Tana Rabbanon, v'rishoinah hayu noisnim peyot lelefes v'lakruv. What is this all about? So you recall we had yesterday a Mishnah where the Anshe Yerichoi had six customs, three of which the Chachamim were mocha, and three of which they were not mocha. Okay, one of the customs that we spoke about was the final one, which appeared on Nun Vav Amid Aleph, the very end of the Mishnah, that there were noisnim peyah leyerek. The people who lived in Yericho gave peyah from vegetables. And the Chachamim were upset, and they made a public protest. They made a machoa. The Gemara discussed yesterday, what was wrong with that? If anything, it shows on their part that they are being machmir. They are giving peyah when it was unnecessary. It
shows dedication.
It shows dedication, devotion, grace, charitable, beneficence, benevolence.
Gratitude.
It's gewaldic. All the rest. But there's a major problem. The major problem is that we know that peyah is potter from maisers. And therefore what happens is, if you go and designate produce as peyah, people will eat it, that is, especially the aniyim will eat it, and they'll say, we don't have to give trumas umaisres, because after all, peyah is potter from maisres. But this is not bona fide peyah. This is only pseudo peyah. It's fake peyah. And therefore, what's happening is that people are eating tevel. You're asking me, why is this considered to be fake peyah? It's wonderful. What's wrong with fake peyah? Says the Gemara, if you remember yesterday, we'll just quickly go over the last few lines. Right before the wide lines, the Mishnah says that nan. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that nan. Mishnah, the very beginning of Masechtas Peah, klal omru bepeah koshu oichel v'nishmar v'gdula min ha'oretz v'kitosa ki achas v'machnisa l'kiyam chai bepeah. That to be mechuyev in peah, you have to have these five requirements. And the final requirement was machnisa l'kiyam. It means that it is produce that people put away in long-term storage. You can go and put away, for instance, tevua, whether it's chitim or sa'idim, you can put that away in long-term storage. But you can't put vegetables away, because vegetables in just a few days are going to spoil and are going to rot. And therefore, at the very end of the explanation of this Mishnah, on the fourth line, the tzed, or the third line, machnisa l'kiyum prat l'yerek, yerek is potter from peyah. And the Gemara asks, what's the machloikis? The machloikis is, there are certain yerokos which you can put away for long-term storage, especially if you pickle them. What means to pickle them? Well, you know what pickles are. You go and put cucumbers in some sort of water, brine. Vinegar, brine, whatever. You leave it for a while, and then it becomes pickles. So the same thing you can do, says the Gemara, you could do with lefes. Lefes is turnips. So turnips, in fact, according to yesterday's Gemara, would be an exception to the rule. Turnips, you would be mechuyev in peyah. So the Chacham are happy with that. The Chacham would not be mocha. The problem was that the people in Yericho, not only did they give peyah from the actual turnip bulbs, the turnips themselves, but also the leaves that are attached to the turnips. I don't know whether people eat them today, but I assume so, because at all the fancy chasanas, they go and give as a first portion. Years ago, when I was a kid, they used to go and give delicious fricassee. People don't even know what fricassee means anymore. Instead, what they give now is all these different types of greens and grass and this and that, which presumably are very, very healthy. So, anyway, so some of the leaves and of the turnips presumably are also among that beautiful foliage that they deliver. It's really wonderful. Anyway, the point of all this is, nobody takes those leaves independently and pickles them, because it's not a thing that you would normally pickle. However, guess what? A lot of people just leave them attached to the turnips, and then they go and soak the turnips with the leaves attached to them, so both of them become now pickled. Okay, the Gemara calls that machnisa l'kiyum al yedei dover acher, that you don't store it because you want the turnip leaves. You want the turnips, and you just leave the leaves on the turnips, either because you're lazy or because it's not worth it, or for whatever reason, just leave it there. Maybe that's how it got the name, leaf. Anyway, Bottom line is, the machloek is the Anshi Yericho said that machnisa lekima yidei dovarach shmei kiyam. The maisa people do preserve the leaves by putting them inside the pickling jars and containers. So therefore, you do have to give payah from the turnip leaves. But marsa and the chacham said no, lo shmei kiyam. People don't go and store turnip leaves if they're attached to the turnips. So now the Gemara tells us Tana Rabbanan.
In the case of payah, you don't give it like you're giving truma to a coin.
You don't take it from the pickle jars. That's true.
And you leave it there in the field.
Another reason why it's called leaf.
So, and so the payah is there in the field, and, mm-hmm. and the aniyim come and they remove it with its leaves.
The turnips with the leaves.
Mm-hmm. So what's the they don't want? I mean, if what's the problem? I don't understand. Why could they say it's not buttled to the turnip? If they're taking it out, if you're giving it like truma, when you take it in and it's kiyum and et cetera, like both chit and sorin, I understand you've collected it and now you're piling it up. But here you're not. Here you're leaving it for the anim to take at their discretion.
Very good. So now the question is about these leaves. Are they considered to be peya, or are they not considered to be peya? According to the Anshi Yerichai, they did not give trumas and maises from the leaves, even though these turnip leaves apparently are edible, and apparently there are sane, rational individuals that eat, even though I never met any of them, but apparently there are. Oh, we now just met Shlomo. Shlomo is now waving that he is...
You're disparaging all these greens, beet greens, leafet greens. They're all good. They're all high in calcium and they're all healthy for you.
Chas v'shalom, why did you think that I was disparaging them? I think that they are wonderful. They are great. I'm encouraging all people's fancy chasanas to give them out instead of the fricassee.
I prefer the fricassee. Let's admit it.
No, but the thing is, couldn't the leaf enable the prolonging the freshness of the turnip? By keeping it intact, it may keep it...
You're talking about without pickling. Our Gemara is talking about specifically with pickling.
No, with pickling. Maybe it does something to the...
It keeps it fresher.
Right.
Konzai. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, the answer to Barry's question is that instead of just giving payah from the turnips, they gave payah from the turnip leaves as well. They should have put a big sign and said, Rabbeisai, if you're going to collect the leaves, make sure to give trumas and maises. Or the balabatim should give trumas and maises from the leaves before, so that all the leaves that they leave together with the turnips, gizunzai, already were mu'usar. But they didn't do that. Gesundheit. So that was the problem that the Chomer Mocha says, the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brayse in Bereishoina. Bereishoina means initially, before the Chachamim were Moicha. How you noisten peya lelefes velakruf. Rashi immediately points out, we don't mean the turnips and the cabbage themselves. We're talking about the alin. We're talking about the leaves that are attached to the lefes and to the kruf. So they gave the peya from the lefes leaves, like we learned yesterday, and from the cabbage leaves. Today, people don't call it leaves anymore. They probably would call it the cabbage lettuce, but you know what we're talking about. Good. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, af le kaflet. Don't leave out kaflet. Kaflet is leek. So they gave peah from lefes, kruv, and leek. But on Irach, we have another braisa that says that initially before the chacham remoche, how you noise them peah, le lefes ve la kaflet, meaning for the turnips, and for the kaflet, and for the leeks. But Rabbi Shimon Oimer, af le kruv. No, for the kruv as well. For the cabbage as well. So now before we continue on the surface, it looks like we have three separate mandiyamrim who are really talking about history. Before the Chacham were Moicha, what did the Anshi Yerichai do? Now, who are the three mandiyamrim? We have the Tanakhama of the first price that says that this minog of the Anshi Yerichai was limited to the lefes and the kruv. The second price says Tanakhama to the lefes and the kaflut. And Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, the two Tanoim, Achroinim, if you will, of the two Brises, they seem to be exactly consistent with one another. Both of them are saying that it was for everything. Right? The Tanakhama says Lefes and Kruv, says Rabbi Yossi, don't forget the Kaflut. And the Tanakhama of the second Brises said Lefes and Kaflut. Rabbi Shimon said, don't forget the Kruv. So it seemed that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are saying the same thing was all three Minim. And there's a machlokes between the Tanakhama, the two Brises, whether it's Lefes and Kruv, or Lefes and Kaflut. it would appear that there are three opinions of these three Tanai. So it's a lie. Trei Tanai have it. There are only two opinions of two Tanai. How does that work? V'tanakama d'Reb Shimon. Hayne Reb Yosi. V'tanakama of the second Braisa. That's the same as Reb Yosi of the first Braisa. V'tanakama d'Reb Yosi. Hayne Reb Shimon. And the Tanakama of the first Braisa is Reb Shimon of the second Braisa. Umayav Akamaisa. What does all of this mean? So it's very, very simple. Let's go back to the Braisas once again. In the first Braisa, when it says, Brishoina hayu noisnem peyat lelefes velakruv, when Rabbi Yosi responds, af lekaflut, he is saying, no, it wasn't lefes and kruv, it was lefes and kaflut. And the af is going on kamaisa, on the lefes. So Rabbi Yosi says, no, I respectfully disagree. It's not lefes and kruv. And kaflut, it's lefes and kaflut. Who's the one that said that? That's the Tanakama of the second Braisa. When Reb Shimon says in the second Braisa, af lekruv, again the af is going on the lefes, not on the kaflut. He's saying it wasn't lefes and kaflut, it was lefes and kruv. No, who said lefes and kruv? That was the Tanakama of the first Braisa. And so therefore we have only two opinions altogether. The Tanakama of Braisa 1, that's Reb Shimon speaking, it's Lefes and also Kruv. And the Tanakama of the second Braisa, that says Lefes and Kaflut, that's Reb Yosi, that also said Lefes and Kaflut.
But he says Af.
The Af goes Akamaisa. Kamaisa means on the first of the two words. I didn't make it up. The Gemara says Af Kamaisa. On those first two. The reason why the Gemara wants to be doichik, because we don't want to have three opinions. We want it to be as much a Havas Yisrael as possible, with a minimal amount of machlokis as possible. So when the first one, the Yama said, Lefes and Kruv, Rabbi Yosi said, no! Not Lefes and Kruv. It's Lefes and also Kaflut. Leave out the Kruv, just Lefes and the Kaflut. And same thing for the second one, the Yama. And that's why the Gemara says, the Tanakama of the first Braisa is like Rav Yosi the second, and the Tanakama of the second Braisa is like Rav Shimon the first, etc., etc. Tanarban. Ben Buhayan. Who was Ben Buhayan? Says Rashi. Ben Buhayan was the son of his father, whose name was Buhayan. Rashi doesn't give us any further direction or color. If you look at Rashi, about a quarter down the Amud, Ben Buhayan, Shem Aviv Buhayan. So that's how he got the name Ben Buhayan. He nosen pay leYerek. He gave paya for Yerek. Again, presumably he lived in Yerichai. And again, the Chachamim were not happy, and they were mocha. Uba Aviv. Do you know what the father of Ben Buhayan's name was? It was Buhayan. Yes, you guessed correctly. Buhayan came. Umatzalaniim sheyitu unam Yerek. That they were now carrying the Yerek off in the form of paya. Va'oimdin al Pesach Hagina. And they're already standing there at the doorway of the Gina to leave. And Omulahen and Buhayan said to them, Bonai, my children, Yiddish kinder, hashlichu me'alechem, do me a favor, please throw the payah back into the field. I'm going to give a very fair exchange. I'm going to give all of you double the amount that you just took in your hand and that you're schlepping away, and you won't have to worry, I will give the trumais umaisrais. And he tells them, don't be suspicious. It's not because I'm upset about the fact that you're schlepping away all of this payah. And therefore, don't be noivis, don't be concerned. You leave the payah here, and I'm going to take down all of your names, and I'm going to give all of you, I'm going to send you FedEx, I'm going to give you all double the amount, where it'll be kusha v'yusha mahadrim and a mahadrin, because we're going to give trumas and maisis. After all, if he says, I'm going to go and give you double, that sounds like a very benevolent gesture on his part, so why would I think that einai tzara? Because they might be suspicious and figure, FedEx, he's going to say, he's going to promise, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. I'd rather go and take the payah now, rather than getting his empty promises that maybe tomorrow he's going to go and be master, he's going to go and send it, he's going to forget the address, he's not going to have postage, he won't send it, So therefore he told the Rabbi, he said, no, I love all of you. I love all of my fellow Jews. I'd love for you to go and take away all this food. But the problem is, it's not real payah. It's not ma'usir. Leave it here. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to get you even a double portion. Tana Rabban. Since we spoke about Berishoina, where there were kilkulim, and Shirichoi meant well, but unfortunately it came out, a chumra turned out to be a terrible kula, a possible kilkul, the chumra moicha. So now the Brisa tells us something very similar. As we know, when a person brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, it depends what type of carbon he is bringing. If he's bringing kochim kalim, such as a shlamim, the balim keep the oirois for themselves. However, if they're bringing kochi kudushim, just like the kehanim receive the flesh, except for the carbon oila, which is kula kolil, but lemashal, if they are taking the carbon chatos or the carbon osham, they get the basar to eat. Even by the carbon oiler, where they don't get the basar to eat, but at least they get the oirois, they get the hides, the skins. And as we'll see in the Gemara, if you add up a few of these skins, it can be big, big money. So Rishon initially, what does that mean? I'm sorry?
Isn't that where you
found
that
over?
The mikvah was there.
Exactly.
The hides
probably had a
reah. Well, I'm assuming that when the time the Kohen Gadol came, they hid the reah. And by that time, it was already parva. He didn't smell anything. It was
they
did a good, exactly, hid the hides. And the problem was, now, why did they put the hides in the Beis HaParva? The reason is because you don't get the oirois immediately, but rather you go and accumulate them over the day. You had 5, 10 korbanos oila and 3 chatois and 5 ashamos that day. They took all of the hides, they hid them temporarily in the Beis HaParva, and in the erev, and that night, after the day's events were ended, all the service was concluded, all the people that worked that day, as you know, every mishmar, the kahanim were divided into 24 mishmaris. Every mishmar worked at least 2 weeks a year. And every mishmar itself is divided into either 6 or 7 days, depending on the Rashi. There's a Rashi here, there's a Rashi in Chagiga. There's two different kirsois, whether it's 6 days a week or 7 days a week. But bottom line is, they were divided into batayat. And therefore, each, assuming that you had 70 kahanim for that week, and assuming that you had 7 batayav, so therefore each day you had 10 kahanim working. Whatever. So says the Gemara, the erev, that night, they would go and divide up all of the hides to those anshei beis av, if they were, Baruch Hashem, 10 kahanim, and they were 10 oirois, each got one, and so on and so forth. However, there's a problem. There were unfortunately a couple of kahanim that were bali zroya. That means that they were strong fellows. Rashi says kahanim chazokim mechavi rehem, and therefore they took advantage of their physical strength, and they would go and snatch them before all of the other kahanim. Either they got the bigger ones, or they got the better ones, the stronger ones, or perhaps they took more than was allotted to them, or should have been allotted to them. And of course, the other kahanim were quite upset. And they weren't interested in having a fist fight. They complained to the bezin of the kahanim, Hiskinu, and they made a nutakana, Shimachalkan oisami erev Shabbos, that instead of having each base av go and split it each evening, go and have them go and accumulate throughout the week. And now erev Shabbos, when the Mishmar Hayotze is preparing itself for leaving, they actually would yotze on Shabbos when the Mishmar HaNichnas would enter, but Shabbos, of course, that would not be an appropriate time to start splitting up the hides, so they did it before Shabbos. Chalkan ois me'erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos. The Asyan kulan mishmorois v'shaklin badot. It really doesn't mean mishmorois, it really means the bati av of each day, where they hadn't gotten their stuff yet, so they all get together now on Friday, the entire mishmar. The Loshen Mishmaris means that every Erev Shabbos, the entire Mishmar would get together. So the Mishmaris, the plural form, is referring to the many weeks. That each week, the entire Mishmar, all the Batei Av of that Mishmar, came together on Friday to go and split up the oiris of the week. And to a certain degree, this was also more equitable, because you could have theoretically Sunday, it was snowing, it was windy, and very few people came, and therefore the very few oiris that day. And Monday, there might have been double or triple the amount of oiris. So why should the Monday Kahanim get more than the Sunday Kahanim? So this would be more equitable. Everybody, we're going to split it up
you
on their
shop.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll say more. People came Monday, Thursday.
They became a Kovach Shabbos, but in Thursday they came for court, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they would split it all together. But there was another problem. Who are the G'doyle Kahuna? Before we spoke about the Balis Royais. Here, G'doyle Kahuna, says Rashi, means the Sorim Shebehen, the nobility, the princes among them. How princely they acted. What did they do? Noitan Oysim Israel. They would say, ah, come on, yeah, yeah. I'm an Einikel of Aharon HaKohen. Most of the other Kahanim were probably too. But anyway, anyway, he said, I'm in charge, I'm going to take. And unfortunately, they now took advantage of the situation. And once again, the other Kahanim were quite upset. And what did they do? Amdu Balim. Who are the Balim? Not the original Balim. The original Balim don't own the Oiris any longer. But rather the Kahanim of that Mishmar. Vektishim L'Shemayim, and they were Makdish, all of them, to the Gvoya, meaning for the Bede Kabayis, for the Beis Hamikdash, the Makdish, everything. Guess what? Omru lehoyu yom mu'atim, it didn't take long, at shechipu esaheichel kuloi betavloi shel zohav shehein ama al ama ki oive dinner zohav. There was such an accumulation of wealth in the coffers of the Beis Hamikdash that they were able to go and plate the entire heichel from beginning to end with tabloids, with tablets, or tiles, shelzov made totally out of gold, am alama, am alama square, koiv dinner, the thickness was like the thickness of a dinner, that was presumably quite thick, zov of gold, and they didn't permanently affix them, they only plated them, but as you'll see, it was removable. Ulregel, when the ulregel came, they would fold them up, in other words, they would remove them from the walls of the heichel, and now stack them. On the Harabayis, outside of the Beis Hamikdash, there were places where there were steps, as well as places where people can sit. And then they went and took all of the accumulated tiles of gold that they had previously used to go and plate the Heichel. They fold them all together, put them together on the Harabayis, that all the oiler regel should come and see that the malacha that they did was perfect, and there was no, Rashi says, ve'ein bem doifi, no flaw, no blemish. Look what we accomplished on your behalf. Look at all of these oiros, etc. Says the Gemara, Tana Abishol Oimer, koiros shel shikma hoyu b'yericha. We're going back to Yericha once again. Koiros, usually throughout Shas, means beams, but here Rashi says the koiros is referring to the trunk of the shikma tree. As in English, it's called the sycamore tree. And we learned yesterday and before in the Gemara that the sycamore tree, Anshi Yericha would do was to thicken the tree and to make it really wide and heavy and thick and givaldic. They would do is they would go and remove the branches, and now all the nutrients and all the minerals and everything, all the nutrition from the ground went into the trees. They didn't spread into the branches, there were no branches, and that made the trunk grow wider and bigger and heavier and all the rest. Subsequently, as we learned in the Mishnah, what happened was new branches would eventually grow out, and then the Anshei Yericha would go and use those branches, because they would say, these are only Gidoh, so we didn't say. After they went and did this wonderful job of thickening and broadening the width and widening the width of these sycamore trees, they would be matish them to the Bede Kabayis. Okay? And guess what happened? Eventually new branches grew out, and then the youngsters said, these are only Gidulei Hegdish. Gidulei Hegdish have no din of Me'ila. And so therefore they started using them, and those were called the Gamzei Shel Hegdish, and that was the first of the three things that we had in the Mishnah, that Michu Behem Chachamim, that you cannot do that. Okay.
In Israel, there was no Mila, but there was an Israel. Brother
Shai tells us, what did the Chachamim hold? Why did they disagree with the Anshei Yericha? Anshei Yericha were right. gedilei hegdish ein behem meila. But the Gemara said, even though there's no meila mina toira, the Chachamim imposed an isur midrabanan, and therefore they were violating this rabbinic isur, and that's why michu behem Chacham. So now the Gemara tells us a little bit about the background of all of this. It says Abishol kodesh shikma yibirichai, these thick trees. When something is out there in the public and it looks nice, then there are always going to be ganovim that are going to put their eyes on things and say, ooh, I could use a tree like that. And what would they do? They would evict the balam and say, this is my tree. What do you mean it's your tree? I have papers. Well, your papers, fake news, etc., etc. Anyway, they went and stole these trees. The balam, so the balam said, if I'm not going to have it anyway, I'm not going to be able to fight this guy. And he will mock the shem and said, okay, it belongs now to the Bedek Abayis. One would have thought that the Ganovim would ignore that. They didn't, because even though they were Ganovim and Gazlonim, they were still Erlechim. That was what we had. The Gaba used to say it, and Chasen Hendler, Zuchran Lebrucha, they used to say that. Aganef mit Agazlin. Oba an Erlechayid. So, therefore, they're not going to start up with Hegdish. Hegdish. Guess what happens? Aleim al kiyotzeben omashol. So, therefore, omdubal mikdish l'shamayim. Aleim on these type of people, val kiyotzeben, and their colleagues. In other words, these type of Kanovim Gazlin. Omer Abishol. Abishol would say, Abishol ben Botnis Mishim, Abi Yosef ben Chonin. Oili me beis baisis, oili me olosan. Oily me base chonin, oily me lechishosan, oily me base kasris, oily me kulmoisan, oily me base yishmol ben peyachi, oily me egroifon, shen kahanim gedoilum ubeneim gizborim, vet chasneim amarklin, vavdeim choivtim esa om bemakles. In other words, there was a fair amount of lawlessness from time to time throughout the generations. Even if the leader was the Kohen Gadol, unfortunately that didn't mean that there was not going to be violence or lawlessness.
Corruption.
So, Abishol ben Botnis told us the name of Abi Yosef ben Chanan. Oilim beis Baisis. Who is Baisis? You have the first wide line down below. Baisis Kohen Gadol Hoya. He was a Kohen Gadol. And the other three mentioned by Abishol, all four of them were Kehanim Gedoilim v'chein Kulam. And all of them Hoyu lehen Avodim Chamsonim v'choivtim Esa'am. Even assuming that the Kohen Gadol himself was Noki, and we'll soon see, not always, nevertheless, unfortunately, had a bunch of enforcers who were not nice people. They were Chamsonim, they were Gazlonim, and they also gave petch to the people, bad guys. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is telling us is, and unfortunately, in Yericho, you also had these bad guys, and that's why they had to mark the shit Ligavoy. So continuing on. Says Mebeis Baisus. We had Baisus earlier on in Amasechta about the Srike Baisus. Baisus was a famous baker, and he wanted to be able to go and put his matzahs in a tfus, in a form, and have them very pretty. And they said, they'll say, all the other Srike Marasar, Srike Baisus, Mutarim. But I don't know if it's the same Baisus, because I'm assuming that you don't have a Kohen Gadol who is also a baker, but who knows? Anyway, the Gemara doesn't give us any more flavor or any more description of Baisus, just that Rashi says he was a Kohen Gadol. So Oilim Beis Baisus, stay away from Beis Baisus. Oili me olosan. What is an ola? Says Rashi, second wide line, olosan mak loy seyen, kemoy loy ba'ola v'loy b'roimach memesech to Shabbos. A roimach, of course, is a spear. An ola is a makel. A makel is a big heavy stick or a staff. And in the art school, they define it as mace, M-A-C-E. But I don't think they mean the mace like we think about it today.
Spikes is a metal. It's a metal stick with
and you spin it.
That's right. That's one form of mace. There's another form of mace, which is the spray that you spray mace. And then, of course, Chas V'Shalom, if somebody passes away from either this mace or the other mace, never you could have another mace. Anyway. So the whole thing is a big, big mess, and we get back to our Gemara. So Baisus had these olois, which were used, Nebuch the clobber people, and these were dangerous. Nebuch. Oili beis chonon. Oili the beis chonon. Chonon again was a bad guy, or at least the beis chonon were bad guys, as we'll see. Oili melechishosan. What means lechishosan? Says Rashi, yoi atzeira. These people would give bad advice. The word lachash is either whispering, or it could also mean talking, and so they're talking and they're saying bad stuff. And if you look at the hay in the Masoret HaShas, he adds Peter Shahoyu Rechilim. Loiselech Rochel Bamecha, a Rochel is a gossiper. And so these people would spread gossip, Lashon Hara, and that would cause a lot of strife. Yesh Mefarshim, that the Lachash was the type that they would snitch to the authorities, and therefore they would cause these were what we would call Muslim, a Moisa that goes and gives other people and their and all of their property to the authorities by saying this guy didn't pay his taxes, etc., etc. Not nice guys by any stretch of the imagination. So, a whole bunch of different pshatim in the Lachash, why these guys are bad. In fact, the Rabbeinu Chananel here on the side says, Oyvim Lachishasin Shoyu Rechilin, just like the Maseres Hashas. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Oyli Beis Kasris, Oyli Mi Kulmoisan. A kulmus is a pen or a quill that you write with. Says Rashi, you koisvin igrois l'ra. They would go and send out letters to, who knows, to government officials or to other people, saying bad things about Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel, whatever it was. And of course, they caused a lot of strife. Oyli Mi Beis Yishmol Ben Piachi. So here, we'll, this case we know for sure. The Gemara is going to tell us later on that Yishmol ben Piachi was an Erlich Kohen Gadol. He was in the second base of Midrash, as you know. Many of the Kohen Gadolim were not so Erlich. He was the star, the shining example of someone who was really great, Yishmol ben Piachi. It's the base Yishmol ben Piachi that were not so nice. And Oyli me Egroif, and stay away from the Egroif, and Egroif is a fist. Shehem, all of the aforementioned four that we had, that's the Baisis, Chonin, the Yishmol ben Piachi, and the Beis Kasris, all of them, they were Kehanim Gedoilim, Ubneim Gizbarim, their sons were Gizbarim, Gizbarim means people that would go and collect the funds, and Vechasneim, and their Edemis were Amarkalin. Amarkalin, says Rashi, means, comes from the word Omar Koil, which means that they were the administrators, they were the managers. Al Piv Nechtach Kol Tzurich Hegdish, Amarklin Omar Koil, he's in charge, he gives the final command. Omar, he says, Koil, these are the rules and regulations, this is what you got to do. The Avdeyan, and ultimately their slaves, meaning their employees, Choyftes Om, they would go and give petch to people if they didn't listen to what the Gizbar said you got to pay, or the Chasneim said that you got to do this, that, or the other thing. So the Avdeyan, they were the Avdeyan, were the enforcers. And they were Choyftes Om, the Maklois, with the mace, with these big sticks, which were very dangerous. So, all of that is just to give color to, yes, very sad, just to give color that the Anshei Yericho, unfortunately, there were some bad guys, and that's what caused the Anshei Yericho to go and be makdish all of their sycamore trees, Ligavoya, and then we had the subsequent Sha'al of our Mishnah that the future generation started having Hanoah, and as Brother Shai told us, even though there's no Dina Me'ilah, but there is an Isra'ana. So Tana Rabban, we're going to continue talking about things of this nature. What we learned from our Gemara is, Ein kol chodesh tachas hashomesh. If you think that Gazlonim and Chamsonim and Rotzchim all grew up in the 22nd, the 20th, or the 21st century, kvar hayolay lamim. There've always been problems from the beginning of time.
And you see also that people can dress a certain way and comport themselves as being sort of from, and you see that
you're from
whether tocho kabara or not.
Very good. Estanaban arba tzvachis tzavcha azara. The Azor in the Beis Hamikdash gives out four screams. It's difficult to understand whether Igmar means this literally or means it metaphorically, but regardless, the Azor made four announcements. Rishoina, first one, Tzu mikam b'nei Eli, let the b'nei Eli leave, shetimu heichal Hashem. So this b'nei Eli, as you know, itself is a bit of a hot potato. In Novi, it says about the b'nei Eli that Ashiyishkivun es hanoshim. Women would come to go and bring their kabanais. In particular, those women that had just given birth, they have to bring their kabanais al yiledes. They have to bring the kabanais after the 40 days or the 80 days are over, after they gave birth to either Zohar or Nekeva. And the Loshin HaPosik sounds like that the b'nei Eli, who were the sons of Eli HaKoyin, who was the Koyin Godoy, that these were bad guys, and that Chas Shalom, they would go and live with those new Yoldesin when they came to the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom, that's certainly never the case. Abad chulila, how could you even have such a machshava? But rather, the Bnei Eli were not nice guys in the sense that they would let these Yoldesen wait until the final moment. They wouldn't go and bring their kabbanis as soon as they brought it. They would say, you got plenty of time, you sit on the side, you wait. And as a result, the women only came home very, very, very late, and they were no longer able to live with their husbands, and so therefore they deprived the women of the benefit of living with their husbands that night, those nights, because of the fact that they caused them to delay and to delay and to delay. And that's why the Torah called it as if Yishkibunas Anoshim, that not that they lived with them, but they deprived their being able to live with their husbands. Anyway, because they were bad guys, the Beis Hamikdash, the walls of the Azorah scream out, get out of here, Bnei Eli! She'atimu Heichal Hashem, by your actions you've been metame, you've profaned the great Heichal of the Kodesh Baruch. V'yoytzvocha, tzei mikan yisochi ish kvar bar koi, she'machabres atzmoi, u'machal kodshi shemayim. Another bad guy. In which way was he a bad guy? He was mechabed himself, and he was machal, he profaned kodshim. To have a korach yodeh b'shiroi, when he would perform the avoda, he would put on silk gloves. The oved avoda. Why? Because he didn't want to get his hands dirty with the blood from all of the karbanis. Oh, he didn't want to stain himself. So he wore these. Oh, so what's the problem over here? Avada is a din of chatzitza. That's in terms of that he's machal the avoda, because avoda you have to do with your hands and not with the chatzitza. But it's worse than that. He's mavaza the kodesh. He should have enjoyed having the blood stains. This would have been his pride. He would be able to say, "You see, I did the avoda today in the Beis Hamikdash, and here's proof positive." No, he didn't want that. He didn't want
up to their up. With the blood was up to their ankles. They were happy about their
food. Exactly, proud of it. The oitzvach wazar seushar mesheichem yikonis yishmol ben piyachi. He was a great, great kohen gadol. Talmid Reshul Pinchas. He was a talmud of Pinchas ben Aloz ben Aharon a kohen, meaning that he went in the same path, in the same footsteps of that famous Pinchas. V'shamish b'chunah gadol. He should come and be mishamish b'chunah gadol because he was a great guy. Now, before we said about Yishmol ben Piyachi, that the base Yishmol ben Piyachi oiloi mi'agreifan, so the meforshim that was talking the base. Yishmol ben Piyachi himself is a tzaddik. However, people in his household, some of them, either the children or the Edomis or the Avodim, they were not such nice guys. The Oitzavcho Azores Ushar Mesheichem Yikonis Yoichanan ben Narvoi Talmidoi Shel Pinkoi. Yoichanan ben Narvoi, the Talmud of Pinkoi. Again, Rashi and the Meforshim are silent. Where is the Yoichanan ben Narvoi Talmidoi Shel Pinkoi? The Marshoa speculates that this perhaps is Yoichanan Koyin Godel, who was one of the longest living Kohanim Gadolim. He served as Kohen Gadol for 80 years. But the Gemara tells us that a person should never be confident about his status in life as a Frumid, as an Erlechid, Emun and Bitochen, because even Yoichan Kohen Gadol, unfortunately, at the end, he never went off the Derech. That's what the Gemara tells us elsewhere. So the reason why we don't give him the full name of Rabbi Yoichanan is because of his OTD that went off the Derech. That's why we call him Yoichan ben Arvoi, whatever that means. And we don't see he's a Talmud of Pinchas, rather we say he's a Talmud of Pinkoi, which is a variation of Pinchas. Initially, for 80 years, he was talking the Talmud of Pinchas. But since he, it's Fakrochen, he went off the Derech, so we changed Pinchas also to Pinkoi. Anyway, you can look it up in the Marsha. V'yemali kreise mikodshi shemayim. Nochmul, tzu'ushar m'shech v'yikonish yoich ben Arvoi. He should come in and he should be Zochef the Kodesh Shemayim. In other words, during those 80 years when he was Yoichan and Kohen Gadol, the great Kohen Gadol, he did a great job, and that's why he lived for such a long period of time, and he should therefore bring the Kodesh Shemayim and have enough from the Kodesh Shemayim that is from the Basar, etc. And now the Gemara tells us about a very wonderful attack of this Yoichan and Arvoi. Omru Olav al Yoichan and Arvoi Shaya Oichel Gimel Meyos Agolim B'Shoyse Gimel Meyos Gar V'Yayin V'Oichel Arboim So'a Goizolus B'Kinuach Suda. Now on the surface it sounds like he had a very voracious appetite, that he was able to eat 300 calves and 300 Gar V'Yayin Fesser barrels of wine. And of course the number 300 is an exaggeration, but nevertheless, even for an exaggeration, one individual to be able to do all of that, says Rashi, no. Yoichanan ben Arvoi was such a great guy. He was megadel bebeisoy kohanim harbe. means he had his own private orphanage at home, if you will, and he had at his table, and he was megadol many kohanim. And so therefore at his table at all times, he always probably had 20, 30, 50 people. And so that's why they were able to go and eat up all of the zagolim and all the garviyim, not him single-handedly, but he and his guests. And for kinuach suda, that means for dessert, they ate 40 saw of gezolis. Gezolis means pigeons usually. Amru, they said, kol yomish al yoichim ben arvoy, as long as he was a kohen gadol for 80 years, like nimtza noiser b'mikdash, you never had a problem with noiser. Because when there was a lot of karbonis, and the kahanim said, who's going to eat all of this? No problem. Kim taran. And then the doors would open, and 20, 30, 50 youngsters of the kahanim would come in, all those that he was megadol b'beisai. Okay, and now we end off the perek with a fascinating, but also a very distressing story, what happened to Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi. Remember, Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi was the bad guy that put on the silk gloves not to have to soil his hands by doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Freitimor, whatever happened with him? Says Yimor Amri, Malkul Malkas Ahava Yasvi, the Melech and the Malka, the king and the queen, were sitting together. And they were having a major philosophical, theological debate. What was the debate? Malka Omar Gadya Yoi, or Malka Sa Omra Imra Yoi. They were having a debate as which flesh, which meat tastes better. Is it goat meat, or is it sheep meat, what we would call lamb? Well, what's going on over here? He said Gadya. Gadya, you know, we have in the Haggadah, Chad Gadya. And Gadya means a Gdi, which means a kid goat. And the Melech and the Malka are arguing. Malk is the Melech, is the king. Said Gadya Yoi, goat meat is presumably better, more nutritious, more delicious. Well, Malkas Amra and the queen said, Imri Yoi, no, lamb is better. The word Imra comes from the word Tzemer, which is a reference to the Kvosim, to the lambs, to the sheep. Amru, they said, man, who's going to decide this debate? You would think they would bring in a French or Italian chef, but instead they said, you know what, let's bring the Kohen Gadol, the Kamasi Kabbanis Kol Yom. After all, he brings the Kabbanis every day, and presumably he tastes from some of those Kabbanis from time to time, and he'll tell us which is better. Is it the goat meat, or is it the sheep meat, is it the lamb? Osa'il. And they brought him in, and they said, we have this quandary, we have this debate, we hope you're able to go and decide it. Now remember, it was the Melech that said that the Gedi is better, and the Malkus was the one that said the Kvosim is better. Osei, the Kohen Gadol comes in, Achvi Biyodei, and he goes and makes a gesture with his hand in a very demeaning manner. And he said, Igadje Yoi Yasik Letamida. If Gedi is better than Keves, in other words, if Ezim are better than Kvasim, why does it say in the Torah that you're supposed to bring every single day two Karbonis Tamid? Two Kvasim. Why didn't the Torah give you the option? Or perhaps it should say, bring an Ez in the morning and an Ez in the afternoon. Vos is Kvasim. So obviously, a Kodesh Baruch Hu feels that Tamid, the Keves, is better than the Gdi, and so therefore, King, what you have said is kind of nonsensical. He didn't say that directly, but he showed with his hand, Rashi says, B'loshen Tzchoik, he made a gesture with his hand as if to dismiss the king's argument, and he's saying, King, come on, how can you even say something so foolish? Gadya is better. And then why don't they bring every single day two Gedoyim? Why do they do and bring two Kvasim? The Melech was not happy, and the Melech said, you spoke in such a deriding, such a dismissive manner because of that. Go and cut off his right hand. It's that right hand that he went and did the avodah with. Go and cut it off. He was not happy to lose his right hand. Yoav Shoichad. He gave money to the executioners, those people that are going to execute, in other words, remove his hand. And Upaskil the Smoli, instead they took off the left hand rather than the right hand. Shama Malka, the Melech, heard this. And he said, no, I said the right hand. And guess what? Upaskil Amine, they took off his right hand as well. Nebuch, now he has neither right hand nor left hand. Om Rav Yosef said, Baruch Rachmanu, we have to thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Ashkelei Yisachar Ishkvar Bar Koi, l'mitchafuse minei b'hai alma, that Yisachar should be very, very happy that he got his retribution, he got his punishment in this world. The lashon of the Gemara Ashkelon mitchafes means that he received his retribution, in other words, his punishment here, and not off Yenevelt. The Chasam Sofer adds that it's not only good for Yisachar Ishkvar Bar Koi, but also this will be a role model for all future generations. Don't do things like that and cover your hands with silk or with gloves. Chevra, if you do that, Chalila, look what happens to people that try to outsmart the halacha and the avodas Hashem. Ravashi, so Ravashi said about Yisachar Ishkvar Bar Koi, Loitana Masnisin, it's obvious that he was not a Talmud Chacham. He didn't know Befeidush and Mishnah. And again, what did Yisachar Ishkvar Bar Koi said? He said, Kvosim are better than Izim. Because if Izim would be better, why don't we have that for the Korban Talmud? So he didn't know the following Mishnah. Did not. Vushteta Mishnah, Mesechtas Krisis, that's at the very end of Krisis.
This Gemara is brought there also.
As well as this Gemara that we just learned now is also the conclusion
on
Mesechtas Krisis. Mishnah will be there another couple of years, and you're all going to remember, Barry will remind us that we learned this already back in Mesechtas Pesachim, and I'm sure everybody else will also have a slight memory. Yo, we learned this already. Anyway, so says the Gemara, Omer Abashi, Yisachai Shmarkoi, Leitonim Asisi, didn't learn a Mishnah, not. It says in the Mishnah of Shimon, Oimen. In the Torah you find the word, not the word, but when it talks about kvasim and izim, kvasim always precede the izim. For instance, it says by the Korban Pesach, mena kvasim u'mena izim tikochu. If you look in the art scroll, in the footnote, he brings 7 or 8 different places in the Torah where kvasim come before izim. So yochel, I would think they should move harm b'mina. Probably because they are mufcha, they are better. Talmud Loimer, that's why it says. Now where does it say the following? We're now talking about the Korban Chatos. And it's about the Korban Chatos, im keves yovi karbonoi. Now what does it say about that? When a person, a private individual, is bringing a Korban Chatos, he can bring from a kizba or seira. Oh, exactly what we're talking about. Either bring it from the keves or from the ace. If you look up the parashah in Parashas Vayikra, it first says that he can go and bring the seira, and then after that it says, im keves yovi karbono lechatos, then he can do that as well as an alternative. But this is a rare case when the Korban Chatos, it's the seira that is spoken about first, and it's the kivda that's spoken about second. Then keves yovi karbono lechatos, ne keves mima yivi ena. And therefore says the Gemara, malam shishnein shkum kecha, by the fact that the Torah goes and puts the A's, in that case, the Seira before the Kivsa is the Chasim, and that they're both the same. So based on that Mishnah, what the Kohen Gadol should have said is, Melech and Malka, whatever you're going to decide will be fine, because there's Shkulim Ke'achot. Don't you say that the Gdi is better than the Kevis. Don't you say that the Kevis is better than the Gdi. They're both on the same Madrig.
Judicial discretion.
Oh. Ravina Amar, Afilimikra Nami Lekar, he didn't even know Psukim. The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, now we're leaving now the parasha of the Korban Chatos, and we're going to the Korban Shlomim. And the Shlomim, as you know, you can also bring all different types of animals, and there the Pasuk says, Keves, M'Eis, Iboy Keves Laisi, Iboy Eis Laisi, you really have a choice, it's a, well,
six of one is half dozen of the other.
That's the expression I was looking for. I never understood what that expression means. But whatever it means is, it's the same thing.
However you phrase it, it's the same thing.
Exactly. You call it Eze, Keves, Keves, Eze, they're all exactly the same thing. Exactly. So therefore, he would, if he learned this Chumash correctly, he would have known that that was a proper answer to the Melech and the Malka. The reason why it says Pesach Rishon, because in the good old days, Pesachim was split up into two separate Mesechtas. We would be able to make a Gantz Siyam now. But in later generations, they merged the first half and the second half, and they made it into one Korban Pesach, if you will. And as we'll see in Mi'at Hashem over the next 4 prakim, we're going to focus on the karbonis of the Korban Pesach, and since we're talking about karbonis, we're going to spread out and talk about other karbonis as well. We're finally going to come back to other Hilchos Pesach in the final perik of Mesechtas Pesachim, where today we're going to talk about the Seder night and the Arba Koises and the 5 Koises and Eliyahu HaNavi and the Matzah and the Morin and the Haseba and all those wonderful things. So until now it's called Pesach Rishon, and that's called Pesach Sheni. Now before we begin at least the first couple of words of the new perik, when you learn this Shtikel Torah here in the Gemara, it sounds so incredible The Melech and the Malka have nothing else to do but to argue about whether Gedim meat is better, Keves meat is better, and then they have to call the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol, as a result of speaking incorrectly, he loses the right hand and the left hand. It sounds like a very fascinating, amazing story. The Chasam Sofer goes and takes this story and says there's a much deeper meaning to it. What is Chasam Sofer? We had a very fundamental machlokes, and this is a machlokes that goes on even to today, and that is, who is greater in for the Jewish people? Are the Talmidei Chachamim that are sitting and learning, the scholars, or is it the Ashirim that are being machzik Torah, the machzikia Torah? Both of them are very, very necessary. If you don't have the Talmidei Chachamim, then we won't have Torah. But if you don't have the Toimchei Torah, the people that go and support them and give money, in Kem and Kemach in Torah, they main Torah and Kemach. So they work hand in hand. And therefore, what the machlokes between the Melech and the Malka was, that the Melech said, the Gedi is better. What's the Gedi? The Gedi is referring to, the Pasuk says, God Gedi v'sinik loy, and the word God and Gedi means mazel. And therefore, it's the Bali mazel, the Ashirim that have the mazel and Baruch Hashem are making money, they are the better guys. And in fact, the word so'ir, says the Chasam Sofer, Seir Izim, Soir is the same Oisiois as the word Osher. You take the sin and the I and switch them around, and you have Osher. So the Ashirim, those are the better ones. She, the Malkus, has said, no, the Talmid Chum are greater. And that's why it doesn't say in the Gemara Kevis, it says Imra, because their Amorais Toivois, their Amira, the Dibre Torah that they teach, that is on the higher Madrega. Oh, let's go and call the Kohen Gadol. Why did the Melech suggest bring the Kohen Gadol? Because the Kehanim Gedolim of the second Beis Hamikdash, 99% of them got the position through bribery. Influence. Bribery. The influence was money. And so therefore the Kohen Gadol, the Melech said, the Kohen Gadol, he has an appreciation for money because that's how he got his position. He's going to hold like me that the Ashiris, the Toimchei Torah are there, are the greater Madrega because they're supplying the Kemach, they have the money. To his shock, the Kohen Gadol said just the opposite. He sided with the Malkasa, and the Kohen is saying, this is a fraud. He knows that he got the position through money, and now he's dismissing the money. That's how he got the position in the first place. Oh, we'll show him. And he went and cut off his right hand. And the Chasam Sofer says that that he went and defended the Talmid Chacham instead of going defending the money is similar to a debate that we have between a philosophical debate, or it's a apocryphal. What's the apocryphal debate? The apocryphal debate is that two Yoyatzi HaMelech came, one was saying Dibur is Odiv, and the other one said Shtika is Odiv. Mm-hmm. One says that speech is better, the other one, silence is better. Golden. So now the king goes and says, okay, you, the Dibur man, you go and present your position. And he gave a long speech, how speech is much better. And now they say to the other person, the silence man, no, now you state your position. As soon as he opened his mouth, the speech guy said, you have no right to go and defend your position by speaking because your whole position is that of silence. You have to go and prove your position through silence and not through speech. And so therefore, that's what the Melech is saying now to the Kohen Gadol. How can you go and say about the Talmud Chacham that that's greater when you got your position through money? So therefore you have to go and tell us, extol the virtues of the money and not extol the virtues of the Talmud Chacham. That's the shtickle over here. It's a very fascinating shtickle. I'll read parts of it and then Barry will probably want to take a picture of it.
Yeah, send it around.
Of course. So Malka Omer Gdi Yoy. Ula Yoimer, perhaps Shedibu Beremes. This whole Gemara is really Beremes. It's really telling us something much more profound. Talmud Chacham Odif Oyhe Osher Sheyochel Hachzikoy VeYishneim BiYodoy. Then you'll have both. You have the Osher and they have the Talmud Chacham. They can work together. VeZeu Gadi Yoy Hu Osher. When it says that the Melech talked about Gadi, he's referring to the Osher. Bal Hamazel Meloshen God Gedi. The he Amr, and she said, Imriyoi, hu tamad chochem ba miras sefosef. The gam remuzim hema bekabonis elu, mamish, because tle the so'ir, tle being the young keves, and the so'ir being the goat. Hamaram is al tamad chochem, shehu kitle savlon. A tamad chochem, he has to tolerate a lot of things going on. He, unfortunately, his panos is usually a little squeezed, and therefore he has to tolerate problems in tzoris and this and that, the other thing, and all the rabbis today have now all become advisors on family matters and matrimony and this and that, the other thing. So they have a lot to go, a lot on their heads. They have to be soivel a lot. So that's like a tle, which is also a sovereign, kind of a lowly animal that has to have the burdens on its back. The sori is a oshir. Asvan didain ke asvan didain. The word asvan didain means the oisius of one are like the oisius of the other. The soir and the usher are the same. Ushneim ki achatim lekarban, and both of them are great, like the Gemara says. Surely. So now, val derech halotza yoima shehiv the kohen gadol. They brought the kohen gadol. Shari babai yishen in nismanu kahanim gedolim b'mamoina yisera dihava the malchus. They gave money to the king. Avu bishoyu amei ha'aretz. Even though they were amaratz. Lekach omer hamelech sheze yizbar al yidei kohen gadol. He's going to take my position. Shemakim b'chol yoima yidei mamoina yidei yohav. Shemamino gad yoyah. The Yisachar loy hoyde lemelech. The Yisachar unfortunately did not take the king's position. Upiv vichshiloi. The Omer yasik letamid. The pirsha tamid chum who carbon tamid bli hefsik. These are carbon tamid because they learn constantly, hour after hour, minute after minute. Mashen kina osher gam ki machsik loy mitoyre. Even though Baruch Hashem he's giving money, because mokem in a tamid bli hefsik. Because after all, there are minutes during the day that he's not writing out checks. He's doing other things. Mashen kina tamid chacham chum mokem mukter mugash. Wherever he goes, wherever he's learning and teaching and learning Torah. I left out this point. The Melech was furious. You paid Shoicha to go and save your right hand. Here he was Megana. He said, money is Gunish into Talmud Chacham. That's the one that's important. It's not the Gadya. It's the Imra. It's the Kevis.
And now he paid a bribe to the executioner.
And he used that very money to pay a bribe to the executioner. And therefore, that's the Marshal Shesipro Rishonim. Yatzi Melech in his Vakhu. They had the debate. He had Dibur Odev Oyashtika. Vlo Yenich Bala Dibur Bala Shtika Levare Devarav. He didn't allow him to speak. How can you go and talk and extol the praises of silence by speaking? Anyway, that's a Sheinach Sam Sofer. He gives much more content and substance to this Malkusa. And Amyachin tomorrow, as Brother Shai has requested, we're going to start Tamanishchad Bishmoino Mechza and Mendy as well. Mendy also said, he wanted to make you feel good. And then Mitchum next month is Shabbos. Mitchum Lineda will have another shir on the Shabbos shir. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael. Have a good Tavach and Zaygibesh. Thank you all for joining. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. David Shlomo and everybody else. I'm going to give you a copy, Mitchum. That's why I brought it along.